Welcome back to another episode of The Witch Doctor, a podcast audio play brought to you by me, Equanimous Rex. Last episode, we learned the mysterious stranger's name, and the sisters were returned their sight. This episode, we return once again to the twisted, unearthly forest that Artemis awoke within. Thank you for listening. The Witch Doctor, Episode 12, Float. The ground beneath Artemis shook. It would stop and then would shake, pausing and commencing in a rhythmic pattern, almost like footsteps. Something large was coming out of the forest, and would be in the clearing soon. Artemis, still crouched near the base of a strange spiral tree, started sneaking backward slowly, without turning around. Her eyes were focused on the gyrating silhouettes and scurrying hand thing, which continued despite the footsteps to ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. Cut the plastic-wrapped people, their legs buried up to mid-shin in forest soil, their frames compressed with ropes which came as far up as their mouths, covering their mouths and noses, leaving only large, darkly staring eyes which looked in no direction in particular. They did not utter a sound, merely swaying like field grass in heavy winds, causing the hand-borg to prod them into position so that it could use its strange cylindrical claw to encompass and cut in large chunks the swaying bodies into three, which it would then toss into the boiling, shaking metal pot, roughly the size of a small shed, suspended still over a fire gaining traction, kindling hotter and brighter, snapping and popping. As Artemis backed into the forest, it almost appeared to her that as the cookpot fire got brighter, that the clearing and forest surrounding it became darker.
It's feeding on the forest,
Artemis thought to herself, convinced without reason to be convinced. There was a strange surety that snuck up on her, like kidnapper highwaymen on the nighttime roads, throwing a blanket over you and carrying you away.
You're not cooking them for yourself, are you?
Artemis did not take her eyes from the scuttling thing down in the clearing until the horizon of the hill did it for her. She dropped to her hands and slowly lowered herself away from the ridge, careful to avoid detection. The ground continued its patterned rumbling, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. She could not see what was making such noise, but could tell that it was not coming from behind her, back towards where she had woken up in the spiral forest. Far enough away now, down below the tree line of the ridge, Artemis reached behind herself for her crossbow, which she had not realized was missing. Her hand lingered over her shoulder for a moment, as if her brain were glitching at the loss of the familiar projectile weapon. Silently cursing, she tossed the thought aside and began to run through the forest as fast as she could manage.
Fuck this,
Artemis said aloud. She quickly left behind the clearing, and the handborg, and the hopelessly brutal and efficient way that it rended apart the bodies of those poor people, who had not been able even to scream. She ran and ran, and never stopped to look behind herself. The air was sweet and invigorating and cool. The strange forest had very little in the way of bushes or rocks, and few hazards littered her path as she went further into the spiral forest. And though there be few obstacles, What did dot the forest other than the dark green spirals were alien themselves. What would look like bushes until you got close enough to them that they would evaporate and drift away like smoke, always eluding being clearly or closely seen. In addition, perfectly round black orbs hung from the spiral branches above her, suspended by one long, thin strand of luminescent spider's web. They would hang down to nearly 5 feet above the forest floor in clusters of two or three, and Artemis was forced to roll or duck underneath them. She wasn't sure that they were dangerous, but she didn't want to find out face first either. After a few minutes of fervent running, Artemis began to feel as though the ground were not solid, as if she were bouncing up and down off of a rubber surface, oddly lacking in a sense of impact, a lack of shockwave translating through the soles of her feet into her legs. As if noting this for the first time, Artemis also realized that she felt light. Instead of stopping to dwell on this matter, she gritted her teeth and ran faster, trees whipping by her as she bolted at a breakneck pace. As she ran, her mind began to wander, and Artemis actually started to daydream, lost in the thoughts of her first hunt, her first lay, her childhood friends, the subject and focus shifting with every footfall. Her consciousness began to drift away from the task at hand, and schlup, she slipped. Artemis's feet shot out from underneath her as though she had tried to bolt across a glistening iced-over pond with Teflon slippers. Instead of going face-first into the ground, her legs shot up behind her, and some kind of force lifted her upward, her arms now dangling under her upside-down head, her feet pointed towards the forest canopy, spinning as if on an axis. She looked in panic at her legs, convinced she had been caught in some kind of delicate, hidden snare. But no rope or cord wrapped around her ankle. Artemis could see nothing holding her up, and yet up she was held, spinning like some kind of astronaut. She frantically reached out for any purchase, but the weird branches of the spiral trees seemed to pull back from her every time her fingers brushed them. Thankfully, Artemis did not appear to be rising. She hung nearly 20 feet above the ground, but did not appear to be heading towards the strange violet sky above her.
Has the sky always looked like this?
Artemis wondered, spinning through the air, once again finding it difficult to cut through the fog that had wrapped itself like a net around her mind. She noticed this and tried to hold on to her panic.
Drugs. It's gotta be drugs. Someone drugged me. This isn't...
But a voice cut off her thoughts.
Looks like someone got a little airheaded.
The voice was high-pitched and coming from her left, which was the direction her body was starting to turn away from. Artemis didn't respond, instead quickly kicking at a retreating spiral branch and sending herself turning towards the noise, suspended in the air. She didn't see anyone among the trees, but caught a glimpse of motion off once again to her side.
You better show yourself,
Artemis yelled.
Now.
She was trying to sound stern, strong, but the voice merely giggled in a way that should have probably been terrifying, but was oddly endearing. No hint of malice in it.
I just don't want to scare you,
came the response, muffled from behind a copse of trees out of sight. Artemis began to go topsy-turvy once more, her head beneath her torso, straining to keep a fixed gaze on where she thought the voice was coming from. No matter how friendly it sounded, she wasn't convinced one bit that it wasn't the hand Borg, or something worse, something tall and mottled, something she had seen before, and...
I can't remember how I got here,
Artemis said softly, to no one in particular.
That's okay. Most of you don't. I wouldn't worry about it.
The voice sounded like it was trying to be polite, courteous almost. It was the same tone that a host would use when a guest accidentally spills something at the dinner table. Artemis continued to float and bob, a little slower now. She was now hovering with her right side towards the ground.
Well, I am worried about it. Who the fuck are you? Stop being creepy and get over here and help me. Or something.
There was a pause, and then she heard the sounds of obvious movement. Though she continued to spin in the air, she saw what looked like a man walking towards her from the shadowy trees. It was hard to get a clear glance at the approaching figure, and she kicked out once again against the trunk of a spiral tree, sending its whole thick core shifting away from her in an unsettling reaction, and spinning her over and under at a much faster rate now. In the brief glimpses she sees of the man walking towards her, she first notices that he appears to be almost naked, wearing nothing but a large, exotic headdress and a pair of, strangely enough, briefs. Chest, legs, and arms were all exposed, smooth skin without a trace of hair, sharply defined muscles all over, as if it were an underwear model who was heading towards her as she spun.
You know, you're a lot more relaxed about this whole thing than most of your kind usually are.
Momentarily obscured from sight once again by the angles of her uncontrolled levitation, the figure seemed to be reaching closer to her at an unnatural speed.
Most of the time it's all, rah rah rah, get away from me, or oh baby baby. It's like, make up your mind, humans, am I right?
The stranger continued to talk. Artemis did not get the feeling it was exactly directed at her, but that it was the polite noise created in awkwardly silent social situations by a willing party who cannot accept the strange tension in the air. Suddenly, Artemis stopped spinning. All at once, just stopped, hanging in the air, the stranger nowhere to be seen.
What the shit? Where'd you go? No funny business.
But she heard him beneath her, heard an audible grunt of exertion, and felt a large, strong hand grab her ankle. Artemis gasped and began to kick at the hand with her other foot.
Hey, relax, lady. I'm helping you out here.
They both sunk rapidly towards the ground, and Artemis flung herself away from the figure in the bright white briefs and strange headdress, turning back at him only after she had dashed a few yards away. He was not what she had expected. Like many things she had witnessed recently, her mind was unable to grasp his form, her mental hands running themselves over her perception of him, feeling blindly, and unable to comprehend the way all of the angles and parts went together, a sensory jigsaw puzzle that her nervous system was incapable of putting together, for a moment at least, and then she saw it. What stood before her was a creature with the body of a buff male model, wearing nothing but those briefs. But the man wasn't wearing a headdress. From the neck down, he was human, but where the smooth, perfect skin met where the bottom of any normal person's jaw would be, instead was a spider. A massive, hairy spider, legs and all, attached via the underside of its body, one seamless creature. The eight legs stuck out on either side of the body, wiggling slightly but mostly doing nothing. It had at least four perfectly round eyes, two large ones close together, and two smaller ones on either side of the larger ones. Two small, leg-like pedipalps protruded around its mouth, and these twitched and rubbed at themselves absent-mindedly. Behind the pedipalps was a human-like mouth, thick red lips, and a perfectly toothy smile shone at Artemis.
See? Nothing to worry about. No need for screaming and yelling.
But Artemis interrupted him.
What the fuck are you?
The human grin behind human lips on the face of a spider disappeared.
Well, you don't have to ask like that, darling. An arachna man must have his arachna pride, after all. I do worry that you'll hurt my feelings.
The spider-headed man appeared to pout, but as quickly as he was mopey, he was grinning disconcertingly again.
But to answer your question, I'm pretty sure I'm a nightmare.
He paused, wrapping one human arm around his human torso, leaning the other atop it contemplatively.
Or the personification of a very niche fetish.
The spider-headed man raised both arms quizzically, hands flopped down at the wrists in a who-knows gesture.
Or both? We don't get as existential about these things as you humans do. And I have to admit, I haven't wondered about it for aeons.
Artemis raised an eyebrow. She sensed no danger from this strange being, but he did have a spider for a head and stood at least 6 feet tall. And she was still wary after witnessing the hand Borg.
I don't understand. So what are you then? If I'm a human, what are you? A spider dude?
The spider-headed man giggled at this and shrugged.
Well, darling, you're definitely not home. Your lot has given this place plenty of names. It is the place of all names, in a way.
Flexing his biceps and striking a ridiculous pose, the spider-headed man raised his voice, announcing Artemis to the alien forest.
Welcome, human, to the underworld!
He paused, looking at her with his simple, spherical eyes.
Or is it the overworld?
This has been The Witch Doctor, Episode 12, Float, by Equanimous Rex. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for future episodes. Music attribution. The intro is Come Play With Me by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. The outro is Iron Horse, also by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Both of the songs are licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.